Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. Gavin Shaw, Alex Wolf, a 99-90 victory for the New York Knicks over the Atlanta Hawks, officially avenging last year's playoff series. Doesn't even matter anymore. Not a thought in my mind. But Alex, what are we going to get into in this podcast after this great Knicks win?
We're going to talk about how, you know, the whole playoff series was erased and nothing. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about Alec Burks in his first start of the season, leading the team in scoring, having a great game. Evan Fournier and RJ Barrett both having bounce back games in this one. Some good minutes out of Quickly, as we've come to expect. Some really good minutes out of Jericho Sims. Some great minutes out of Obi Toppin, too, for as little as they were. Quentin Grimes making an appearance and doing some stuff. Pretty much everybody had more or less good minutes in this game, except maybe Julius Randle, but even he, I don't think, was that offensive in the way that he played. So, good win all around for the Knicks. We're going to talk about it next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Ewing for the win. Yes!
Up, puck left. Now fires it.
And he's good. And he's fouled.
Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down.
This is all about. Back up off the glass. It's good.
Becomes infectious.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, and we wanted to thank you, as always, for making Locked On Knicks your first listen today and every day. We are now available on all platforms, including, and you know this if you're seeing our beautiful faces, on YouTube. And this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I'm Gavin Shaw, a play-by-play broadcaster who just wrapped up an insane month of work, so I'm excited to be back on the podcast a little bit more often the next month. He is Alex Wolf, the fantastic editor-in-chief of the Strickland, the greatest Knicks website out there. I heard rumors that our guy, Benji Ritholtz, just dropped a big piece, so everyone go check that out. Check out all the fantastic content on the Strickland, including all their podcasts, and check out the New York Knicks, a 99-90 victory over the Atlanta Hawks, a day after their worst loss of the season to the Phoenix Suns. The Knicks very much shorthanded, no Derrick Rose, no Kemba Walker, no Nerlens Noel, Taj Gibson, and it doesn't matter because the youth stepped up, the vets stepped up, Alex, and this was an all-around fantastic win, pretty clearly one of the Knicks' best of the season.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Like, the big thing was their ability to persevere in this one. You know, there was a Hawks run that stretched through halftime. I think it wound up, by the time the dust settled, being like a 16-0 run or something like that, or maybe 12-0. It led to the Hawks having like a 6-point lead in the end. And it was just some stupid shot making from Trae Young. You know, at the end of the first half, he just starts pulling up from like 37 feet, you know, on the various logos all around the court and hitting those. And like, there's nothing you could do against those shots. You kind of just have to hope that he falls out of rhythm and stops making them. And lo and behold, the Knicks persevered and they played well. You know, they played a full 48 minutes and eventually those looks did stop falling for Trae. I don't think he scored in the entire fourth quarter, or if he did, he got them right at the very end of the quarter, because I think they cited a stat that he was scoreless through the fourth all the way up to like 3 minutes left or something. And so, you know, I think that they did a really good job of just playing to their strengths. The Knicks did, playing some interesting lineups, you know, that really opened things up for the team. And, you know, playing some guys that don't often see the court in Jericho Sims and Quentin Grimes. I was a smidge, I mean, maybe we could touch on this at the end. I was a smidge disappointed that Deuce McBride didn't get any time in this one, because I was really thinking it would be fun to watch him on Trae Young. But, like, it's hard to be disappointed when the team puts forth one of its best wins of the season so far. I just think, I think that this one was, it's tough to say for sure. I mean, like, obviously the first game was extremely satisfying and all that stuff. But as far as a front to back, you know, effort, this one was definitely the most satisfying win of the season to me, in terms of the Knicks just never really giving in to the other team's runs and all that stuff. And, you know, despite giving up the lead that they had in the second quarter and letting the Hawks back in it, and, you know, sort of falling prey to a big Trae Young, you know, explosion like that, they still managed to just kind of pick themselves back up, play a really good second half of basketball, not let a quick run by the Hawks in the third quarter derail them like they have at other times this season, and played a full 48-minute effort, which, like, is what Tibbs talks about all the time, is what we always talk about this team needs to do. And, like, this was one of the first times where they really truly did that for the whole game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this was a vibes win to me, right? Like, this was all about the young guys bringing really positive energy. Like, I mean, the play that defined the game to me was Quentin Grimes getting that loose ball, getting out in transition, going behind his back, and throwing that lob to Obi, which Obi just proceeded to basically volleyball into the basket. And it was that, I mean, it's what we've talked about with Obi Toppin all year and with Emmanuel Quickley all year. And I think too often we've tried to put it into pure basketball terms, right, and say, well, Quickley offers you this, and this advantage over Kemba Walker in terms of his shooting, his speed, his defense, and all those things are true. And you could say similar stuff about Obi versus Julius Randle. You could say, well, he actually, like, gets out in transition, like, he's more focused on defense, and you can pinpoint that stuff. But the bigger thing is, like, there's just a pretty obvious positive energy when those guys are on the floor that has been lacking a lot when the starters are in. And I don't know if that's a youth thing. I don't know if that's, like, tension amongst the starters for, like, four guys in Kemba, Fournier, Randall, and RJ, who are used to having the basketball a whole lot and now don't always get to, or just the awkwardness of the fit versus the bench that's played together for a long time. But there was just a real positivity and enthusiasm that shined through. And I think where you see that translate most clearly is on defense, right? Because defense, I mean, it is skill-based and it is knowledge-based, but to a large extent, it's just effort. And when the vibes are good, when a team's feeling good about itself, it's going to fly around and make a lot of plays defensively. And look, the Hawks have, like, one of the most diverse and effective casts of offensive players in the NBA. So they're always going to make plays. They were always going to have moments in this game. But by and large, the Knicks held them down. In particular, I mean, all the guards played fantastic defense on Trae Young down the stretch of this game. Alex, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that. But first, I wanted to actually, you know what? I realize we're a little ahead of schedule. You know what? I'll let you go off on that.
Oh, man, I was so excited about
that's a rare tease for an ad that nobody wants.
I mean, I think that the guards played good defense on Trae. I think the team just played good team defense, which was, you know, well, which was very needed, you know, and they played it in all facets. And, you know, we were sort of differing a little bit pre-show about, like, Mitch's performance even. And I thought that, you know, Capella, like, on paper, put up a really great game, like 16 points, 21 boards, 3 blocks, 8 of 14 shooting. I mean, if you just look at that, you wouldn't think, oh, Mitch shut him down. And I'm not saying Mitch shut him down, but, like, I think that Mitch did enough to make it so that Capella didn't have, like, 26 and 30, you know what I mean? Like, that was a very real thing that could have happened, but Mitch had to play this, like, really, really interesting game of having to constantly, like, have guys get funneled into him that he wasn't, you know, he had to make this, like, split-second decision, particularly on guys like Trae Young, where it's just impossible to make that decision of, do I commit to trying to defend, you know, the guy that's entering my paint here, or do I keep a closer eye on the guy behind me in Capella to make sure he doesn't get a lob? And, you know, he got burned a couple times on those, but all in all, like, I enjoyed how he played defense. I thought Randle gave more or less a complete effort. You know, I think that there was a little bit during that stretch in the second quarter when Trae started going off where maybe the body language and stuff and the Knicks shot selection vis-a-vis Randle's, you know, way of playing was not fantastic to end the first half. But all in all, I thought he played a good game defensively. Like, this was just, like, it felt like the most Tibbsy coached game of the season, where I think that he made good decisions as far as substitutions, which maybe that isn't Tibbsy of him, but the way that the guys all on the court played was very much how I think that Tibbs wants them to play. But I will no longer hold us from this extremely well anticipated ad read here. So today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. All right, NBA fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA daily fantasy sports prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as the bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You hit big if you had Lamar Jackson tonight, because he's throwing a lot of picks. All of your users that deposit and use your use our promo code will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code NBA. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus their projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries, so you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And with that, we are back on Locked On Knicks. And I wanted to thank all of you one more time for making Locked On Knicks your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So, Alex, I will throw it right back to you. We kind of gave a big old general summary. Who's the first player you want to talk about?
I don't think it could be anybody but Alec Burks. I mean, I don't know if I cited his stats yet, but led the team in scoring, 23 points. 7 of 17 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a plus 2 in the ledger. I mean, that's not nearly the highest, but I mean, he endured a lot of the bad stretches in this game. He endured the end of that second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter, which, you know, I think when we get to Fournier too, I'll say, like, I don't think plus minus tells the story in this game very well for some of these guys. Sometimes it you know, when we've been seeing the games lately where it's all the starters are a minus and all the bench is a plus, that tells a story. This game, you can pretty much throw it away. But with Alec Burks and how he played, I mean, the big thing was obviously the third quarter performance. Out of those 23 points, 15 come in the third quarter. He plays all 12 minutes, shoots 4 of 5 from 3, including making 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds and an assist in that quarter. And, you know, he's just been so reliable for this team as a offensive, you know, source of points lately. And on top of it, I mean, I've said this like 3 or 4 times, but he's been one of their best wing defenders lately. I mean, without a question, he's maybe their best wing defender at this particular moment in time. I mean, I think that RJ Barrett has the talent to be that, but Burks is just, his execution has been perfect lately. He's, you know, shutting down opposing wings like crazy. And he's making tons and tons of big shots. And, you know, some of those are coming off of dribble creation. Some of them are coming off spot ups. Doesn't really matter. Like, if it's a 3, he'll take it. And, you know, sometimes if it's a mid-ranger, he'll take it. And you feel pretty confident that he's going to make it lately, because he's so on fire. It's, you know, it's been going on now for the last number of games where I just feel like everything that he's shooting is going in. He had, I mean, a number of really good plays in this game as well. I'll throw it to you, Gavin. You usually have a few locked and loaded on hand, but I loved how Burks played in this game. And I just think that scoring explosion in the third quarter was very necessary when the Knicks needed to come back, and they just kept feeding him and he just kept scoring. And that was in many ways the difference in this game and what allowed the Knicks to just kind of like put their foot on the Hawks' throat and just like say, okay, you know, you guys had your fun on that little run over the half, you know, over the halftime break, but, you know, that's it. We're done now. We're going to win this game. And that's exactly what happened down the stretch.
Yeah, what was it? It was like three threes and then the three free throws, and it was like a 5 or 6 minute stretch near the end of the third. And that's how the Knicks separated in this game, right? Because the Hawks had that big run. They went up by 5 or 7 early in the third quarter, and then the Knicks flipped that around and had an 11-point lead at the end of the third. That was their largest of the game. But even going back further than that, I mean, to your point, I thought Burks was just so good defensively in the first half. Like, the Knicks had this play where they were pretty much caught out of position, and they were – I think they had just basically three guys around Trae Young, and I mean, who could blame them with how he was shooting the ball in the first half? And Burks saw that was happening, and he saw Trae's eyes sort of flash towards Clint Capella, and that's an auto 2 points, right? But he shot over, deflected the ball, got the steal. Awesome, awesome play. And then I've long argued that Burks probably has the most aesthetically pleasing game of anyone on the Knicks. I will say Fournier. I'll take Fournier's jumper against anyone's. I will take Obi flying through the air over everyone. But in terms of overall game, like, Burks is just, he looks like the epitome of what a basketball player should look like when he's playing well. And the play to me that summed that up is when he had, I think it was Trae guarding him, Jericho setting a screen right side of the arc, maybe 5-6 feet behind the line, goes between his legs and goes behind the back and just hits that super long three. That was his fourth of the third, including the free throws. And then Randall drew four defenders like a possession later, kick out to Burks, automatic. He gets the bang from Mike Breen. That was just fun. I mean, the Knicks, like, let's be honest, right? This team has not, by and large, been a lot of fun to watch the last few weeks. Like, Burks is bringing a lot of joy and a lot of entertainment. But Alex, who do you want to bounce to next as we wrap up the second segment?
Well, I just want to say, kind of in general, based off something that you just said there, I think that this game really was a great, like, showing of why the Knicks did what they did this offseason. And it seems pretty clear now, you know, they still have to kind of figure out how to play against certain other teams, but they had a game plan of how to abuse the Hawks in this game. And it was to attack Trae Young, and, you know, not on the defensive end, obviously he still kind of got his, you know, via the little scoring explosion we already mentioned, but like on defense, there was no Reggie Bullock moments where it was like, oh crap, like Trae Young's on him. There's nothing he can do. You know, no matter who they tried to stick Trae on, it was exactly what we were talking about all offseason, where if it was Burks, he was ready to eat. If it was Fournier, he was ready to eat. If it was, you know, I don't know if he had a possession on RJ, I forget, but you know, like if it was quickly, like regardless, whoever they tried to put Trae Young on was instantly, you know, given the superpower of being guarded by Trae Young, because all those guys could put the ball on the floor and they all were ready to take advantage of that matchup. So that was awesome to see. And I mean, that lays out a blueprint for, I mean, I'm sure Nate McMillan is probably taking notes. And if the Knicks and the Hawks somehow end up meeting in the playoffs again, I'm sure that Nate McMillan will have something new to try against the Knicks, just like he did last year with that strategy of stranding Trae on Bullock. But as of right now, it looks like in the chess match, you know, the Knicks via some free agent magic and, you know, roster construction magic have avoided that problem against this Hawks team, at least from last year, which is that you can't just strand your worst defender on one of these players on the Knicks, because all of them have the ability to put the ball on the floor. Like, we saw it specifically with Burks, and I think Fournier had a few possessions where he was guarded by Trae and it was just like a joke. So that was probably my biggest, another like general takeaway, but I loved how like the whole team looked as far as cohesiveness and being able to exploit what was given to them by the defense and looking for those matchups and trying to exploit them, rather than like some of the other games, like say the Bulls game recently, for example, where they kept trying to exploit would-be mismatches, mostly looking at like Julius trying to, you know, take on like Caruso or Lonzo Ball or whatever, but it just really wasn't working out. And they're still clearly trying to figure out those sort of things, but at least as far as the Hawks are concerned, like they had them figured out to a T as far as how to attack them and make sure that they put their scores in the best position possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. And I think you mentioned Fournier in there. Like, he was sort of the key guy in that equation to me, because I keep saying it, but for the Knicks to be at their best, to hit their ceiling this year, like Evan Fournier, like he sort of has to be that guy, because he probably is, if not the like second most skilled scorer on this team. Like, obviously, like Burks made an argument tonight. Rose has an argument for that. Quickly at times has an argument for that. Kemba at times has an argument for that. But he's in the mix for for one of the most skilled scorers on this team. And we just haven't gotten to see that this year because he's been reduced to just being a spot up 3-point shooter and a pretty inconsistent one for a lot of this season. But tonight, I think, I don't know if it was just the film room emphasis or if it was something specifically against the Hawks, but he was taking advantage of opportunities to attack off the dribble. Like he had this awesome play. It was either late first or early second where he split a double team with a crossover and then had this high arcing lay over John Collins. And then had another one like in the fourth quarter. I think it was off of a Mitchell Robinson offensive rebound, and Mitch fired it out to Fournier. And all season in those situations, we've seen Fournier kind of pause and hesitate and wait a second or two. And this time he was just like, nah, like the defense is unsettled. Like I'm going to take advantage. And frankly, that's what Fournier has to do, right? Because as talented as he is as a scorer, he's not someone who's just going to blow you away with his athleticism. Like he needs some kind of advantage, whether that's Julius Randle getting it to him on like a handoff or like a slick pass, or he gets a running start off the screen, or he gets the ball off an offensive rebound and the defense doesn't really know where he is. But that's how he can leverage his shooting. That's how he can take advantage of the fact that he's a pretty darn good finisher when he does get all the way to the rim. So I love seeing that from Evan Fournier. And I think the maximized version of the Knicks includes a lot of Evan Fournier doing just that. But Alex, how about we head to our second break and you tell the good people about Built Bar?
Yeah, not just Built Bar. I got to tell everybody about Built Bar Cyber Monday. That's right. It is here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That is 20% off site-wide. And even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. I'm going to check out some Built Boost. My wife fell in love with that stuff when I got some the last time. A brand new Built Bar flavor is also landed just in time for Cyber Monday. Caramel Almond Delight. It delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate. Check. Whoa. Caramelized chocolate. Oh, my God. Almonds. Check. Delightful. Double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. 150 calories. And a whole whopping 17 grams of protein with not a lot of sugar, not a lot of carbs. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake, the yummy protein treat filled with marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate. That one is sporting just 140 calories and 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Get to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com, enter code LOCK20 before it's too late.
It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means, football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. So head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. It's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino game. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, Alex, with that, we are back one final time on Locked On Knicks. Still have a lot of ground to cover because technically Alec Burks is the only player that we've talked about, but I will throw it over to you. Who do you want to hit on next?
I actually want to talk about RJ Barrett. Maybe we can make it kind of brief, but like 15 points, 7 boards, 6 of 11 shooting, 1 of 3 from deep. The 2 of 5 from the free throw line, obviously not fantastic. 7 rebounds for RJ. A team high plus 18. And like, I thought that he just really, he was one of the guys that the plus minus, I think, was reflective. Like in 30 minutes, I thought that roughly 31 minutes, he did a really good job of you know, playing good defense. He sort of found himself on offense again in this game, which I really liked. Made like a nice spot up three, had a pull up little shot in the lane, had some good transition buckets, which is what we've come to expect from him. One that was like a nice little alley-oop layup from Julius Randle, which was a nice on the button pass from Randle too. And like a nice one in transition where he took his body into John Collins and just like straight overpowered him on the break and put up a nice layup. Just like a really good game from RJ in that respect. And I feel like we've needed that sort of thing from him lately. It's been sort of all or nothing with RJ. And this game like wasn't perfect from a scoring perspective, but he didn't try to do too much. And I think that's important. I think that he needs to just keep working on getting the little things back in his game. And then over time, the big things should come back. But Yeah, that was the next player I wanted to highlight. I don't know if you have someone else you want to jump right to, but I thought that RJ just deserves some props because I really liked he. It's like the old basketball cliche, but like he let the game come to him in this one. He didn't force things, which I think is really valuable, and hopefully will be something that he values going forward as we get to, you know, the middle part of the season. Well, not quite the middle. The second quarter of the season here, because we're just about through the first quarter. So, yeah, I hope that's something that RJ looks to take advantage of now.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, and I've been saying that about RJ for a while, right? Like if on a specific night, or maybe a couple years down the road, like we get star RJ, that's gravy. But I'm okay with role player RJ, like the guy who's making the right passes, who's being really patient in pick and roll. Like he had that play where he just sort of like babied Herter, and then eventually it ended up in a lob to, I want to say Mitch, it might have been Sims. But my favorite play of the game from RJ, he had this like John Collins was closing out on him. RJ sort of blew by him. He gave kind of like not the Rondo fake, but it's like the people on YouTube will see this, like where you like show the ball and like hold it up real quick and then reverse pivot the other direction and then hit a fadeaway. That was one of the smoothest plays he's had all season long, and then just played with really nice physicality down the stretch. And I loved I was a big fan of the lineup that the Knicks got to towards the end of this game, where it was IQ, Grimes, RJ, Toppin, Sims. Like that was the all, I guess all under 20, well, Toppin's like 30, but outside of Toppin, the all under like 22, 23 lineup. That was a lot of fun and a really well-balanced group. The next guy I will bounce over to is, of course, Emmanuel Quickley, who I was kind of surprised when I looked and he was only 1 for 7 from three. It felt like he had a much better game than that, but that was because he had 7 assists in this one, and his court vision and his energy, I think, drove just a lot of what the Knicks did in this game. Like right off the bat, like they had essentially what was a summer league possession, where it was IQ and Sims running a pick and roll. Sims's gravity drew a couple different Hawk defenders, and IQ threw a cross court hook pass to Grimes for three, perfectly on target, perfectly on time. And then the chemistry between IQ and OB shine through as it always does. IQ put DeLon Wright in booty jail. Haven't gotten to say that a whole lot this season. Hasn't been one of his preferred techniques this year. But he did that to lob it up to OB. And then one of the best passes like we've seen from IQ all season long, has the ball behind the arc, sees that OB has some leverage, and just throws the lob over the top to OB for an and one lay-in. And those are just kind of the opportunistic plays that we see from IQ that a lot of other Knicks guards, Kemba Walker, and not to take a shot specifically at Kemba, because he's thrown some great passes in the last few games, but I don't think Kemba always has that same aggressiveness in terms of hunting out lobs and hunting out easy passes, or maybe just that creativity. And then another one from IQ, last specific play I'll go over, but he got a drag screen, hard crossover to cut back the other way after going around it, and then a big hop step and then back up for a banker. And what stood out to me on that one, Alex, and I'm curious if you kind of agree with this, it was just that, and I think this has been an underrated part of IQ's game this year, it feels like his athleticism is on another level, right? Like every time he crosses over, like he's generating a little bit more force, he's separating a little bit more easily, he's getting into the lane. And then even that hard jump stop, like that was impressive that he could stop his momentum that quickly. And we all know he has the touch. We all know he can make floaters. So that part of it wasn't all that surprising, but he's just a different athlete than he was in the past. And I think that's a credit to the work he put in this offseason. And it just feels like it makes every part of his game like that much easier.
I just gotta say he could stop his momentum. So what?
What did I say? I don't even know what I said.
You did quickly. We did the quickly pun. You didn't even realize.
Sure. Wow. I'm too inundated at this point.
It's been a while since we pointed one of those out, so I figured I'd point that out. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think there is something about how I feel like it has more to do with the fact that his handle has gotten better. And maybe also just that he's getting more decisive with the ball in his hands when he first gets it, that he's able to make that decision. Like, I think maybe that quick twitch athleticism was always there, and we just didn't get to see it quite as much, because we saw it with, like, last year, obviously, with drawing the Trae Young-esque fouls, you know, Harden-esque, whatever you want to call them-esque fouls. He had that start-stop ability, you know, which is obviously a means of athleticism in itself. More just like a guile thing, but he also, you know, he's sort of transitioned that into, instead of quick twitch like that, trying to draw a foul, he's more using that quick twitch to like get the ball on the floor quickly and and start getting to the rim and, you know, get in situations where he can set up his teammates or, you know, find his patented floater, or better yet, as we've seen a number of times this year, get all the way to the rim. So I liked what I saw from him in this game. More specifically, I liked his playmaking a lot. I mean, I think that his value as a playmaker has gone so far up this season, where he's just like finding his teammates so well and making it look so easy compared to last year, where, I mean, I guess it didn't exactly look hard, but just his reads are becoming more advanced. Like, he's making the cross court or, you know, cross paint passes to guys in the corner after running a pick and roll, and making those quick twitch decisions between, you know, do I want to throw a lob to Obi Toppin or do I want to kick it to like Grimes or whoever in the corner? And he's just gotten so good with those decisions and making the right ones pretty much all the time. I don't have his assist to turnover ratio for the season in front of me right at the second, but I think he's got to be at least over that preferable line of 2-1 so far this year. Because like in this game, for example, 7 assists to just 2 turnovers. He's doing such a good job of taking care of the ball and making the right decision. It's been really refreshing to see from him. Not that he was foolish with the ball or anything last year, but he's just gotten so much better at the playmaking aspect this year that it makes his taking care of the ball that much more impressive. The fact that he's making these more advanced reads and still not making really that many bad passes, like if any. So I love the playmaking from him. This is probably up there as, I would probably say, my favorite playmaking game from him this season.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last two shout-outs for me, Obi Toppin, Jericho Sims. Obi, I feel like I almost take it for granted at a certain point just because he's gotten just so automatic around the rim, right? And, like, obviously, like, the dunks are going to go in, but even, like, that little, like, righty banker on the left side, like, it feels like anytime he catches the ball, like anyone who's ever gotten really into like 2K, or I remember this growing up with like NBA Live 2005, you'd have those players like usually with Shaq who were like 99s on the interior, and sometimes they wouldn't actually be able to dunk it because there'd be a defender in the way, but they take some weird like backwards glitchy hook and it would still go in just because their rating was so high. That's sort of how I feel about Obi at this point. Like, even when he has to take like awkward shots around the basket, they feel like there's a magnet pulling them towards the rim and in. And then Jericho Sims, right? I mean, first like substantial NBA minutes of his career, and he come into this game only making one field goal previously, goes two for two from the line, shows off some pretty monster athleticism, not just on like that putback dunk that he had, but probably the defensive play of this game where Clint Capella caught it off a really nice pass from Trey. And honestly, at this point, like, this sounds like a random shot at Mitch, but I don't know if Mitch would have had the athleticism to get to this block anymore, or just currently with the shape that he's in. And Jericho goes across his body and blocks it with the right hand, even though Capella was going up on the left side. And it gives you a little preview for the future of Jericho Sims, and that this guy, I mean, if he's able to harness everything, like, could be a quality NBA center. And the Knicks, I think Benji pointed this out on Twitter, like, all of a sudden have 4 guys who can play center in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to me that they were able to play Sims for 21 minutes in this game. And I mean, he has never looked this good, you know, in any of his time. Like, I think this is far and away the best game that he's played between the impressive summer league to any time that he's seen the floor so far this season out of necessity. I mean, this was definitely his best game to me of the season so far. Just the timing was a lot better on defense. He seems to be figuring out where he needs to be now. Whereas before, you know, anytime he would see the floor, it'd be like, all right, you got to get him out of there because he just doesn't know where he's supposed to be. And it's leading to the, you know, the lane being wide open one way or another, and that just can't happen in Tibbs' system. Whereas in this game, I mean, he plays 21 minutes, and, you know, again, plus minus wasn't everything in this game, but second on the team with a plus 14 in 21 minutes is pretty impressive stuff. I'll just throw a last shout out for me to Quentin Grimes. Got 15 minutes in this game, and I mean, I think there's going to be a 15 to 20 point Grimes game somewhere this season. It's not going to happen yet, but I think it'll be something like that Damian Dotson game his rookie year where he scored like 35 towards the end of the season. he's going to have something like that because he's shooting with confidence. He made one out of two threes in this game. Made kind of he had one turnover at one point that was kind of like he was trying to make a pass to Sims in like sort of a pick and roll scenario, but there was like a guy between them, which was the issue there. But also had one other assist that, you know, looked pretty good. And I think that he's just he's going to figure it out and he's going to have a big scoring explosion at some point. And it's going to still be difficult for him to find time when this team is fully healthy, unfortunately. But I do think that we're going to see, I don't think this is going to be the last time that both Kemba and Derrick Rose are out. And I think as a result, you know, I think that he'll get some more time to try to prove himself. And it seems like if nothing else, he's doing all the intangibles really well. He's handling the, you know, like the defense really well. He's not letting anything be dictated by how much he's or how little he's doing on offense. And it's just kind of going about the game the right way. So I look forward to seeing more from Grimes. But Gavin, unless you had anything else to add, I think we could probably wrap up for today. So hope you enjoyed this edition of Locked On Knicks. We'll be back with how many game recaps we got this week? Two? Three? I don't know. I forget. We'll be back with game recaps. We'll have some other stuff this week. You know, as usual, you know what to count on from us. And till next time, thank you very much for listening to Locked On Knicks. And if you haven't already, check out the YouTube channel. It's just Locked On Knicks on YouTube. Subscribe, like a couple videos if you don't mind, and you know, help fight off the trolls from the other teams, specifically looking at Raptors fans. Can't wait till the next Raptors game. But till next time, thanks everybody for listening.
You guys really thought it was impressive beating us with that OG Anunoby? You're nothing. Yeah. You're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, anyway. Thanks everybody for listening or watching. Peace out. We'll talk to you all soon.